there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Many people listen to True News for world news and analysis, and you know, I think we do a pretty good job of reporting what the mainstream media isn't allowed to report. Reporting the news, however, is not our main purpose. Our core reason for existing is to report what Almighty God is saying to the world in this age. The world is quickly approaching a showdown with the Creator of the universe. This showdown will be far greater than the last showdown, which was in the days of Noah. This rebellious world is on a collision course with the Holy God of Israel. Our primary purposes as a radio ministry is to warn and prepare people that this planet is starting to rock and roll to and fro like a drunkard, and that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and that only those people and things that are anchored in Christ will remain. Our purpose is to equip, motivate, strengthen, and nourish the disciples of Jesus Christ who are fully awake and aware of the prophetic importance of this time so that they may go through these things victoriously and triumphantly, bringing glory and honor to God. I was going through my prayer journal this morning, and often I go back through the pages, going back several years, to read what the Lord spoke to me on certain days. Because I tend to forget. I get busy and I forget what the Lord said to me. And so I have to periodically leaf through my prayer journal and go back and just search for the things the Holy Spirit has revealed to me. And I read what I entered on Sunday and Monday, August 22nd and 23rd, 2010. I had had a conversation on that Friday with Dr. Curtis Ward, and he had experienced a prophetic vision in which he saw a brilliant explosion over Washington, D.C. Many of you will remember the interview I had with Dr. Ward. I should get him back on the program and see what else the Lord has said to him since that time. But he had... He was in a cave, if I recall. He's got a cave that he goes to where he camps, and he was camping for days, fasting and praying and seeking the Lord. And he had this prophetic experience where he saw a bright, brilliant explosion over Washington, D.C. And he told me privately he feared that there's a bomb that's going to go off in the nation's capital. And then that same weekend, again, this was a Sunday and Monday, August 22nd, 23rd, 2010, Susan and I spent that weekend with our son Jeremy and our daughter-in-law Tiana at their home in Jupiter, Florida. And on Sunday morning, as we prepared to leave their home and we were going to drive to Vero Beach, our daughter Carissa and Marshall had our son-in-law Marshall had already moved to the Vero Beach area, and so we were driving up to see them on Sunday and go to church together. And as I was preparing to leave Jeremy and Tiana's home on Sunday morning, Tiana said to me, she calls me Papa Rick. She goes, "Papa Rick, I had a very powerful dream last night. You need to hear about it." And I said, "What was it?" And so she told me the dream. And in the dream, she said, our family was in a holiday party. She said it wasn't Christmas Day. It was the Christmas holiday season. She said, I remember it was festive. It was the holidays. But she said it wasn't Christmas Day. It was sometime in the holiday season. And we were in a party. And a woman came into the party, and she was almost angelic. She had some angelic aura about her. And she walked straight up to us as a family, and she said, very solemnly, this is it. There's no more time. You must leave now. And she said, our family, all of us, we instantly knew what it was. We didn't have to ask her, what are you talking about? We knew what she meant. She said, this is it. There's no more time. You must leave now. This woman went throughout the party, and she tried to get the attention of other people. And nobody paid attention to her. She talked to them. She told them, this is it. There's no more time. You must leave now. But they continued to eat and drink and laugh and enjoy the Christmas party. And Tiana said, my son Jeremy ran out of the building, went into the streets to find a boat. And the streets were filled with fire and smoke and chaos. And he couldn't find a boat in for which our family could get on the boat and escape, because the whole city was full of fire and smoke and chaos. That was her dream. So Susan and I got in our car. We drove up to Vero Beach. We met Carissa and Marshall and their children for church. And before we went into church, Carissa said, Dad, I had a dream last night. And throughout the dream, the Holy Spirit kept saying, make sure you tell your father. Make sure you tell your father about this dream. So Carissa didn't know about Tiana's dream. And I said, what did you dream? Well, I'm not going to go into the whole dream, but the bottom line is this. Our family was frantically searching for a place to hide from the fire that was consuming the land. And the Holy Spirit had said to her throughout the dream, make sure you tell your father about this dream. Well, as I was looking at my prayer journal this morning for those dates, and then I noticed what the Lord had said to me on that following Monday, August 23rd. I was preparing to go to bed. I was in the bedroom. I was getting ready just to pull the covers back and to climb into bed. And the Holy Spirit said something to me that startled me. He said, son, you are preparing the people through your radio program to survive an economic collapse. And a depression is the least of their problems. You need to prepare them for the consuming fire. America will burn. I heard those words. It startled me. I said, Father, what are you saying? He said, what were the dreams about? The two dreams that were told to you this weekend, what were the dreams about? I said, both of them, we were seeking to escape the fire. And there was no place to hide, no place to go because of the fire. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to keep telling the people to prepare for the fire. The economic collapse is the least of their problems. It's the fire that's coming. The prophet Isaiah cried out these words to God's people for the last days. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Recently, a number of True News listeners emailed to me a prophetic dream that's circulating on the internet. Many of you have already read it. And my email box is full of emails, and I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody who has sent this to me. But it's going all over the internet. It's a dream that was received by a pastor in Ohio. He received this dream in late December 2011. The email is titled, "An Urgent Warning Dream from the Lord to America." And the man who was given the dream is Pastor T.D. Hale. And he is the shepherd of Calvary Christian Center in Ohio. He's on the phone with me right now. Pastor Hale, God bless you, brother. Welcome to True News.
Thank you, brother. It's an honor to be here today. Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, Pastor, I think you can tell by the introduction that this radio audience is not a stranger to the prophetic warnings of God. Most of the people listening to this program all over the world have been aroused and wakened from their spiritual slumber by the Holy Spirit. Some of them decades ago, some of them months ago. They're in different stages spiritually of coming out of that slumber, but they're aware that something is coming that's going to change the world. And God is calling out to his people, is crying out to his people to get prepared for it spiritually. And so when I saw this email, I knew that the Holy Spirit had spoken to you. Brother, I don't know anything about your church or your ministry. I've been to your website. Tell me, have you ever had any type of a prophetic warning like this before?
No. This is actually the first, and certainly the one that shocked me the most when I did receive it.
Mm-hmm. So this type of message from the Lord, this is new to you.
This definitely was new to me.
Sir, how long have you been pastoring?
I have been in ministry for over 35 years. I've pastored numerous churches. And the one I'm at, I've been there for 6 years.
35 years of ministry, and
yes, sir.
And this is the first time the Holy Spirit has sent this type of a prophetic dream warning to you. Give us the background. I know this happened in late December. Did this just come out of the blue, or what, had God been dealing with your heart about anything? Give us a picture of what was going on in your life at that time.
Well, we certainly have been, studying, and we have always studied on end time and prophecy events, and of course with the situation that we see going on in America, with the president and the administration. Certainly there are warning signs coming up, and I have been praying and seeking the Lord to give me a word for our assembly. And, I went to bed that night just like any other night, and the Lord just really dealt with me in the middle of the night concerning things that were coming.
And this is December 28th, 2011.
Yes, sir.
All right, so tell us about the dream.
Well, I certainly was shocked when I seen what I saw, but in the dream, I began to see myself going across America, and in the dream, I didn't have no fear. There was no fear at all about what I was seeing, but then all of a sudden...
How were you going across America? Were you walking? What was happening?
No, I was actually... floating. I was actually going across America.
You were suspended in the air. You were looking down.
Yes, sir. Suspended in the air, going across. And then all of a sudden, I began to see bombs had landed everywhere. The land was totally destroyed.
Bombs had been exploding on the ground of America.
Yes.
And everything was destroyed?
I saw just, it looked like things were totally just wiped off. Grass, trees, everything.
Everything was barren.
It was gone.
Burnt. Was that what it looked like? Like blackened cinder, burnt look?
Yes, it did.
Like when a fire goes through a forest and everything just sticks, just black sticks, is that what it looked like?
It was like everything was complete. There was nothing left. There was nothing on the trees. There was nothing, nowhere. I just saw it. Just was total disaster.
Okay, and this was everywhere?
From what I could see, from the point I was at.
Okay. Now, so tell us what happened next.
Well, when I saw this, I saw people standing around you know, their homes and things that were left, holding on to each other, and I saw you know, people that had laid dead, and I began to hear the screams and the cries of the people that this should never have happened. And it was like they kept, you know, saying it over and over and over again. This should never have happened. Oh, Lord, this should never have happened.
This should never have happened. And that's a prophetic word right there. It should never have happened. But it happened.
Yes, it did.
It happened. And that's the reality of it. It did happen.
It did.
And there was nothing anybody could do about it. And life had changed.
Yes, it had. You could tell.
I understand what you saw was it was total destruction. No food, no water.
No. There was no food. There was no water. I could see babies crying, grown-ups, men all crying, holding on to their families. They were begging God for mercy. And as I, you know, kind of moved along, I saw people running, looking for their loved ones, missing, and they were completely out of their minds.
Insanity.
Insanity had took over.
Did you see anything of suicide?
Yes, actually I did, and I saw, you know, people just, I could see, you know, part of this is not even in there, but I could see people, you know, slinging themselves off the bridges and things, and it was just so vivid in my mind what I could see.
The reason I'm asking about that, it's very morbid, and there's a couple very dark things that the Lord showed me in 1998 that I seldom talk about because it's so difficult for me even to talk about. Those two subjects are, he told me that suicide would be the greatest cause of death after the judgment. That large numbers of survivors will kill themselves. They'll kill their families and they'll kill themselves because they cannot cope with the destruction. They cannot cope with what happened to the nation, and they will simply end their lives. And he showed me that many Christians will be pleading and begging with family members and loved ones and neighbors who survived, don't do it, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be happening all over the land. The other thing, Pastor, he showed me, maybe we can talk about this later, the other subject that he showed me that's very difficult for me to talk about is the people will go into captivity. They will become slaves. If you survived, that's just the beginning of your problems. Because if you survived, you're going to become a slave. Slave to the invaders.
Yes.
And that's a subject for me that I have very difficult time saying it. And I've said it very few times over these 14 years of broadcasting. Perhaps I am spiritually at remiss for failing to say, but it's such a hard word for me to deliver to the people because they need to know. This is what the Lord showed me. When this destruction comes, the next phase is enslavement. So anyhow, let's go back to what the Lord showed you. So you saw You saw babies crying. You saw grown adults crying. People holding each other, begging God for mercy. You saw insanity sweeping the land. People were losing their minds. They were jumping off bridges. They were just absolutely distraught, couldn't handle.
Totally.
They couldn't handle the new reality. So what happened next in the dream?
Well, you know, going back to what you said about slavery, you know, I saw in another dream the very next night some of those very same things.
You had a second dream?
The very next night.
What did you see?
I saw in a distance, I actually had came upon or had went to a wooded area, and I saw that there were some people out there camping, but yet not camping like we think. They were actually hiding, and which I saw some federal government officials driving up around. I'll cut this short. They were coming up around the wooded area, and they actually come in and took these families off, and they did take them to some kind of processing place, a place where they took them off to. And I was standing in the front of this building as I watched them being taken in and processed, and it almost to me looked as if I was looking at the days of Hitler again.
The Fourth Reich.
Yes.
The Fourth Reich had risen.
And, absolutely.
And it was
absolutely.
it was in America, and the concentration camps were now open.
That's exactly right, and that's what I said in the dream, that I had felt like I had entered in to a death camp. And it literally sickened me what I saw, and I knew that America was about to change.
Anything else in that second dream?
Well, I, you know, like I said, I saw, you know, the adults being taken, handcuffed, taken to the cars, and they took the children with them. I saw the two elderly people, and they took them and put them in the car, and I saw the men, the federal men. I heard them say, "We are from the United States government. You are under arrest." And I knew that they were running from that. And, you know, I immediately was transported from there of seeing what I saw in the woods. They were standing all by their tents. There was two tents. And they looked tattered. They looked like they hadn't took a bath in ages. There was, you know, gallon jugs of water, and they were trying to light a fire, but they didn't want to bring attention to themselves. But they have, they'd already had been found out because they had come in and took them to this area, building. And it looked like it had been modernized, but yet I knew that it was not like we see today, where it's just, you know, they're going in and it looked very tattered. It looked like things were very run down. And I actually saw rail cars. Rail cars were up beside this place. I didn't go into the rail car. I didn't see inside, but I did see the rail cars down around this place. And that frightened me. It actually, I've got to be honest with you, it really disturbed me. And actually, you're the first one I've ever shared this with.
Pastor, do you think that those buildings, you said they were somewhat run down and tattered, but they had been modernized. Do you think perhaps they were old military bases that had been shut down by the U.S. government and then reopened?
Yes. That's what I knew they had been. Yes, absolutely. That's what I saw. Mm-hmm. So I knew that they probably were old military bases of some sort that had been modernized and painted and updated. And I saw them being taken in, processed. I even saw them being fingerprinted.
But they had railroad spurs going up to those sites.
I did see that. Yes, that's what I did see that.
The Nazis, you know, They're not going to do anything different than what they did in the 30s and 40s. They used railroad cars to haul the people in.
Exactly. I knew America was in trouble when I saw that. I knew that we were definitely heading down a path that was not going to be turned around.
Pastor, I mean, you're a servant of the Lord. You've been a good, faithful pastor for over 35 years. You've preached thousands of sermons. You've married people. You've buried people. You've counseled people. You've just been a shepherd for all these decades. And then out of the blue, the Lord shows you destruction of the land. He follows it up the next night with another dream that America looks like the Fourth Reich, looks like Nazi Germany. It has concentration camps.
Yes.
What is going on here in your life and your ministry?
Well, I, you know, brother, I have to tell you, I'm very shocked that the Lord, you know, gave me this. We have been ministering in our church, you know, to the people that we have, and I have been dealing with prophecy and things, and I have dealt with prophecy in the past, but out of the clear blue, this come to me, this dream, these dreams, and I felt like that I needed to share it with people, and I felt like it was time. We're here. We're in the hour where God is giving all of us an urgent warning to prepare for what's coming.
All right, let's go back to your first dream on the evening of December 28, 2011. As I read the transcript, it says that you then came over a large city that looked like Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Columbus, Ohio. I have been to New York and other cities. I've been, you know, in many, many different states. And so,
what town are you in?
I live in I live in a town called Gallipolis. That's where our church is.
Gallipolis, okay.
Gallipolis, Ohio, which is about 2.5 hours from Columbus.
Okay.
And so, when I saw this, I said it looked like Columbus, Ohio. It looked like a big city. Some big cities I was seeing.
Okay.
And I came across there, and that's when all of a sudden I seen just mass hysteria, riots, and all kinds of things breaking out in the streets of the city, and windows being busted, and I saw people just grabbing things left and right. But when I saw it, I didn't see people grabbing TVs and computers and electronic things. I saw them literally running, grabbing food. They were grabbing chips. They were grabbing water. They were grabbing anything they could get in their hands to sustain their life.
So this was all about survival.
It was all about survival. I could tell that this was different than riots we have seen in the past.
So the rioters were going past the iPads, and they were looking for food and water.
Yes, they had come into the stores by the thousands, as many as people could back in there, and I saw them just slinging. You know, they were grabbing the TVs, just pushing them out of the way and just trying to, I seen the store shelves just being pushed over as they were trying to get on the other side and trying to grab the food and grab the bread and grab the cases of water, everything that they could get just for survival.
And were the rioters fighting among themselves?
They were fighting among themselves until I seen one man grab a gun out of his pocket and shoot a man right in the head right before my eyes.
All right, so what happened next in this dream?
Well, to me, this is the most startling part of it to me. As I left, it gets worse? Yes. As I left from the place, I literally was going like a speed of light. And then all of a sudden, I was standing on the back side of the White House. And as I stood there, I looked up. And I have to tell you something about this part. I heard a voice say, and I didn't even know this, I heard a voice say, look up to the Truman balcony. Well, I knew what a balcony was, but I did not know that the balcony had a name. And that's what I heard. Look up to the Truman balcony.
Truman. So the Lord identified the balcony named for President Harry S. Truman.
Right, right, absolutely. And I did not even know it was called that until a friend contacted me that I shared this with. And I said, I've got to share this with you. And I told him, you know, the extra parts that we're talking about, that it called it the Truman balcony. He said, brother, he said, you're not going to believe this. That's what it's called.
Wonder why the Lord identified the balcony.
Well, from my understanding, we know that Truman, you know, was the president during the time, if I'm correct, around 1947-48.
Yes.
And so in my own mind and spirit, I feel like, you know, when he identified that, seeing that, you know, we see the things that are happening in Israel, in the world, he just identified that to let me know that the dream that I was having was of the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, there's several other things that come to my mind. Harry Truman was a Mason. He was a member of Freemasonry.
Right, right.
And he was also, you know, he was the vice president who became the president at the death of Franklin Roosevelt.
Correct.
He's the president, the first president to drop an atomic bomb, which was on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan. The intelligence agencies, the CIA and the various intelligence agencies came together. They were essentially formulated during the administration of Harry S. Truman. But there's a lot of things that come to my mind. I don't know why. I have to pray about this to find out why the Lord is telling you identified Harry S. Truman. But it's a clue. It's something we'll have to seek the Lord. So what was going on the Truman balcony?
Well, in the dream, I saw the President of the United States, President Obama, standing on the balcony, and I saw in his hand a shotgun. And all of a sudden, to my left-hand side, I heard a loud scream, real loud. And when I turned my head to see where the scream was coming from, flying high up in the air was a majestic eagle flying around Washington, D.C. And I knew that scream. I knew it was an eagle. I saw, all of a sudden, the President of the United States point that shotgun to that eagle and shot it dead, and it fell to the ground. And when it did, I looked up back at him, and he just had a smile on his face like a smirk. And these were the words I heard in the dream: I've done it, and I won't have to deal with this in my administration.
Obama smiled after he shot the American Eagle and killed it. He said, I've done it, and I won't have to deal with this in my administration.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then there was dead silence. And then I heard a voice that said, tell the people that this is my will, that this is my hand, this is the hand of the Almighty, both upon this generation of the righteous and upon the cursed. The righteous will find their way and know what to do. The cursed will wander around with no compass because the cup is full.
The cup is full.
The cup is full.
And we know what that means.
Yes.
That's straight out of the book of Jeremiah.
Absolutely.
God told Jeremiah, tell the people they're going to have to lick every drop out of this cup.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Not only did they have to drink it, he said they're going to have to lick the last drop.
Yes, sir. Yes.
What do you think Obama meant by saying, I've done it, and now I won't have to deal with this in my administration?
Well, I'm a very firm believer that what he is doing is absolutely eroding the foundation of America. He has trampled on the Constitution. He has done everything he has been able to do to destroy the foundation of America through policies, do things he is putting into effect. And I believe and see that each time it's just eroding our country. And I feel like that he is certainly bringing the country down to where we cannot even see the light of day.
Well, he's a one-man human wrecking ball.
He is absolutely a total wrecking ball for this nation.
Pastor, I told our radio audience in 2007 and 2008 when this guy was running, I said he will destroy the country. He will rip it apart. He will divide it to the point of civil war. He has one mission, and that is to destroy the nation.
That is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. But see, you know, several years back when he spoke at the National Convention for John Kerry, I knew then that that man would play a great political part in our country.
Oh, you spotted it back then?
Yes, I did. And I have several people that I told that this man would be our president one day. And then he ran. And I even told our church he would be elected.
That was 2004.
Yes, sir.
I don't even remember him speaking in 2004. I remember when he was elected to the U.S. Senate and how the news media instantly proclaimed him among the top contenders for the 2008 presidential nomination. And I'm thinking, what are they talking about? This guy's a nobody. He just got elected. But I knew enough to pay attention. Okay, the media is already telling us the powers to be have anointed this man. So
yes.
I knew we got to watch this guy. They've got him chosen.
Yes.
But you spotted it in 2004.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I have several that can verify this. I did see that he would run, and I did see, we sat in our home with several people in our home the night of the election, and I've told several that he would be the president of the United States.
Wow. Wow, you were ahead of me on that one. The Lord was revealing things to you a long time ago about what this man was going to do. Okay, so going back to this comment, you think what he was saying is, I mean, obviously we know why he was smiling. He brought down the American Eagle.
Exactly.
But he's saying, I don't have to deal with this in my administration. You think he's simply saying, it's over, it's finished, now I can do what I want to do?
I believe the man, absolutely, that is correct. He wants to move certain things out of the way so that he can deal with his agenda. He has an agenda. He was put in there with an agenda. And I see that agenda beginning to erode our country. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the things that he has done and has caused great heartache and sorrow among the people of today. You know, with the Obamacare, this is not going to be good for America. And so he doesn't have to deal with certain freedoms in his administration. Goodness, how many times has he put czars into his White House?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Obamacare hasn't even come into effect yet.
It hasn't.
He's already showing his hand by challenging the churches.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the churches are being challenged, and so it will come to a spot where he will be able to do pretty much about anything he wants to do without Congress or any of us.
All right, so after Obama, in this dream, shoots down the American Eagle and gloats over it, the Holy Spirit said to you in the dream, tell the people, this is my will.
Yes, yes.
This is my hand.
Yes.
Both upon the generation of the righteous and upon the cursed.
Yes.
So why is this the will of God?
Well, the Bible says he sets up kings, he takes down kings. We know that everything is at the hand of the Almighty. And we do know that what he is doing, obviously the Lord is going to, you know, put this into effect, is going to come about. Obama's his administration and everything that is happening is going to affect the righteous. It's going to affect all of us. But God said, this is my will. And so we have to pray. that the Lord will take this and help us to understand it. Because I know there's people running around saying, we don't understand. We don't understand why these things are happening. But the people have to understand that God has everything in control. And the Lord let me know that this is His will, and this is His hand upon the generation of the righteous and upon the cursed.
Well, Pastor,
and we have to accept that.
Well, Pastor, I mean, obviously, I know that you've read the Bible enough that you know that in ancient Israel, God used wicked nations, wicked evil kings, to bring punishment upon His people Israel.
That's exactly right, and I believe that we are in that time again in America.
But it wasn't God's desire to do it. It was the last thing He had left to do.
It was the last act that God could do to bring punishment and to bring the people, you know, either back to Him or they would be caught up and be destroyed with the rest of the nation.
There's a pattern. There's a pattern of warning and judgment in the Bible. God uses the natural things. He uses the environment, the climate. He uses, drought, and He cuts off the food supply, and He brings in pestilence and disease. And I know people get all, especially the faith movement, oh, God doesn't do those things. Oh, yes, He does. It's right there in the Bible. But He'll use these natural judgments in a steady progression, and we don't know in the Bible. I mean, how many years? This can be decades and decades, just like it's been happening in America, and the weather is changing, and we're being hit with tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and droughts and wildfires and economic problems, and there's pestilence. We've got killer bees, and the bats are dying, and the honeybees are dead, and the people still don't get it, Pastor.
They don't. They do not. It amazes me. It amazes me at how that people have their heads buried in the sand when God is sending so many warnings to people through your radio ministry, through all kinds of God's servants that are here, and yet they will not believe. Just like in the Bible, God sent the prophets. He warned them there was going to come destruction. There was going to come trouble. The nations were going to come in and take over. But yet the people said, no, that's not going to happen. God won't do something like that. Then it did. But then they went back and apologized. Said, we're sorry. But it was too late.
And when you look in the Bible, at ancient Israel, what was going on in ancient Israel that set off these various judgments? What were the people of Israel doing that caused God to start the droughts and the famines and the pestilence, and then eventually the last stage is war? What were they doing?
They're the same thing that's happening in America, shedding innocent blood, putting God out of our nation, putting God out of any kind of policies, taking God out of the school systems. Until we have a generation that is rebellious, we're living in a rebellious generation where right is wrong and wrong is right. They've enacted policies and have protected the ungodly.
So the ancient Israelites, they forsook the holy God of Israel.
They forsook God.
They turned against His commandments. They refused to keep His commandments. They worshipped other gods. They brought the gods of the East in. They had their idols. They had their star gods. They had all these false gods. Lots of times they would worship the God of Israel, but they worshiped their other gods. They had multiple gods.
Multiple gods.
They went to the temple and said, we're saved, and then they left the temple and went and had sex with their wives.
Absolutely.
Of their neighbors. All right?
Yes.
They committed adultery. They committed all kinds of sins, and they had no conviction about it.
No conviction. And look at how many religions we are, is being allowed in America to basically take over.
That's right.
These other gods.
The gods of
the East. Building temples and building mosques, and yet it's protected. And if we would say something as a Christian, then it's hate crimes. It's wrong. But yet they can do what they want to, and it's bringing in other gods and allowing other gods in our nation.
But you know, Pastor, I think the worst thing in all this, what's going on in this country, is the silence and the timidity of the vast majority of pastors who will not take a stand against it.
It is a travesty in America when we're losing the voices of the men in the pulpit that are not speaking up. There's no voices hardly anymore, especially around my area, brother. There are a lot of folks that just will not deal with any of this. They don't want it. They say it's negative. But God's given us warnings that we must wake up and identify that God is dealing with us one last time.
That's right. And listen, this applies to all nations. It's not just the USA. But I'll tell you why we're going to get a heavy dose of it, because we like to tell the world we're Christian. We want the world to believe we're a Christian nation, but we like to live like the devil. We like to serve our Babylonian gods. We love our Babylonian religion, but we want the world to think of us as a Christian nation. Is it any wonder the Muslims in the Middle East call us the great Satan? They look at the way we live. They look at our pornography. They look at our filthy music and movies and television shows. They look at this stuff and they go, that's Christianity? Don't let it come to the Middle East. I mean, I can understand it.
You are absolutely right. They look at the way we live over here, and they say, why would we want that? Because we have this, and it's nothing but filth over there.
That's right. And so the Lord is saying, you're using my name in vain. You're taking my name in vain.
Yes.
On one hand, you like the world to think you're a Christian nation. But on the other hand, you don't want anything to do with Christianity.
Yes, yes, that is correct. That is correct. And it's a travesty when it comes to what we're seeing in America. There's no urgency, it seems like, among the churches. It's like they have fallen asleep, and they don't have a prayer life. They, you know, constantly just go on and as if nothing is going to happen, that life's going to continue on as it is, America will continue on as it is, and there's no urgency. They have their heads buried in the sand, but God is saying, it's time to wake up, things are getting ready to happen, it's going to move at a fast rate, and it's time to get a prayer life back.
Pastor, we've got about, six, 7 minutes here remaining. What else happened in the dream?
Well, I, at that point, I knew that we were coming to a showdown between good and evil, good versus evil. I saw people gathering in their homes, and those there was prayer meetings. They were praying in the spirit, and then I heard in the dream, it said, tell my servants and my handmaids a special anointing would reside on you in the last days, and hold not back your voice, but speak your hearts, for out of them is the issue of life. And the Lord told me to tell the people to pick up the mantle of prayer and cover themselves in a secret place of prayer, and that their eyes would be anointed with a special anointing. There would be others that would be blinded to my word, and all things would be revealed in their due course, but that there would be a supernatural wave of the Spirit come over this generation very soon. But that the final voices are in the land to speak one last time. And yet, through the ministries of tapes and DVDs and books that people would have in their possession, that God would give them that spiritual food to sustain them during these times that are coming upon us. And the Lord did say there was harsh days coming. And also, I was, all of a sudden, it changed in the dream, and I began to hear a voice, the voice of God, and I saw in front of me a table. I was transported in front of a table, a very old table that I knew there had been documents signed, special documents had been signed on this table. And you know, I'm hesitant to say this, but I saw a voting ballot laying there on the table. And as I looked on the ballot, I saw two names. I saw the president's name on the ballot, and I saw Mitt Romney's name. And then all of a sudden, I looked and I saw the president of the United States' name checkmarked. And I knew then what that meant. And I heard a voice tell me, I looked down on the ballot, rather, and I saw written in on the ballot, "For this is the will of the Lord." And then I woke up.
Wait a minute. The last thing you saw in the dream was a ballot, and the names on the ballot were Barack Obama and Mitt Romney?
I saw two names on this very old antique table that I knew had, I knew it had to do with Washington. I knew it had to do with the United States, and I saw those two names on the ballot, and I saw President Obama's name checkmarked.
So the Lord was showing you Obama will win the election.
I absolutely believe that. I am 100% sure.
Because the choice that we're going to be given is a Mormon, a cultist Mormon, a bishop in the Mormon church.
Yes.
Who is pro-abortion, pro-homosexual marriage.
Yes.
You go down, doesn't matter what he's saying in this campaign, it's what his record is. The Lord's showing us the Republican Party's going to give the American people this Mormon cultist who is pro-abortion, pro-homosexual marriage, and that's going to be your choice, America. And Barack Obama will win, and this is the destruction that will come.
Yes, sir. That is the choice.
Oh, brother. Pastor, if all this is true, which I believe, obviously I believe it's true, I wouldn't have you on this program. Then what you saw in this dream is imminent.
Yes, America's days are numbered. The handwriting's on the wall.
Okay, I know, and I'm almost hesitant to say this on the air. There are people close to me that have been, also they have received prophetic warnings in dreams, and they have been told in clear words in these dreams, get out of America before the November election.
My, that's heart-stirring.
Yeah, because I've had several people come to me and tell me these dreams. And it's pretty shocking. And then when I put that up with what you just told me,
yes.
And I believe the judgment's coming on this country, because the reason the Lord's going to allow this to happen, I mean, among the many reasons, is that at this crisis stage, when everybody, I mean, I say everybody, when the body of Christ in this nation that knows we are on the wrong path, and we're still going to sit back and allow a Mormon cultist to be given as our choice to a communist dictator, Barack Obama.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so the Lord's going to, I believe the Lord's going to say at this point, you have to drink from the cup of judgment.
Yes. Yes.
Because you're not even demanding that the nation turn and go another direction. Oh, Father, Lord, have mercy.
Yes,
Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
Pastor, we got like a minute or so here. What are you telling your church?
I'm telling my church to just be prepared to get their house in order, and whatever they need to do for their families, do it quickly.
And I think right now that's the best thing. Do it quickly.
Yes.
Do it quickly. Do it quickly.
Do it quickly.
A dear brother listens to this radio program for years. He wrote to me the other day, and he said the Lord told him, you have 6 months to prepare.
Mm.
6 months to prepare.
Mm.
Brethren, as you listen to this man of God, you have to make a decision what you're going to do with it. You can just take this program as another oh, another prophetic program that you sat and listened to, and isn't that interesting? And you go back to business as normal. If that's your response, you're going to suffer a great price, because I believe that the Lord is prophetically telling us to get prepared right now. We're in the final stage. Pastor T.D. Hale, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. Pastor T.D. Hale, the shepherd of Calvary Christian Center. Well, you and I just heard a very powerful message from Pastor T.D. Hale. He didn't seek this prophetic dream. He doesn't listen to programs like True News. But these dreams that he received were from Almighty God. Last Friday, I spoke on the telephone with Pastor Vince Xavier in Arkansas. He said, "Brother Rick, I'm glad you called. I had a dream last night." Pastor Vince dreamed that a burning asteroid flew across the USA. He saw the flaming rock coming through the sky. He saw it hit somewhere in America. He felt the ground shake. In the dream, he saw the crater and he saw the rusty boulder that had hit the ground. He said people in the dream were unmoved by it. They shrugged it off as no big deal. And then on Saturday, I spoke with David Lankford, a pastor in North Carolina. He told me that the Holy Spirit came over him recently during a church service, and he wept for America. He said the Holy Spirit was grieved by the complacency of the people and their stubborn refusal to repent and call upon God to heal the land. He also said the Lord told him that the people will go into captivity. So let's put this all together. In Pastor Hale's dream, he floated over America, and everything was burned and charred black. There was looting and rioting. He saw people being put into concentration camps. Pastor Xavier dreamed that an asteroid streaked across the sky of America, and it hit, but the people were unfazed. It didn't scare them. It didn't make them think this was a sign from God. They didn't repent. There was no fear of God, no comprehension of judgment on the land. And Pastor Lankford was overtaken by a sense of grief over the coldness and complacency in the American churches regarding the sins of the nation. And he couldn't stop weeping during a recent church service because the Lord told him that he was grieved by the indifference of the Christians in the sins of the nation. So what's the picture we see when we put this all together? Our Heavenly Father is grieving over the sins of America. His church is lukewarm and complacent, willing to adjust to the deepening debauchery of the people, unwilling to confront the nation's sins and preach righteousness. The church could stop the judgment if only the Christians would first repent. But they won't. Nothing bothers them. Drought, wildfires, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, economic woes, terrorist attacks, nothing moves them towards repentance. Not even an asteroid from space will jolt them out of their delusion. Therefore, a consuming fire will scorch the land, and many will die, and many will suffer, and the people shall lose their freedom and go into captivity. But it doesn't have to be this way. We still have time to repent and cry out to God for forgiveness and restoration. Will we do it? Only time will tell. But that time is running out. All of us will suffer, even the righteous. I believe the people in Pastor Hale's dream who cried this should not have happened are the Christians who will instantly know why the judgment fell on the land. They will mourn that there was no repentance and sorrow, and now everything had been destroyed. Life will never be the same again. Ancient Israel went into captivity. Likewise, new Israel will go into captivity. Flee from the midst of Babylon.